It's game day, and this is the home of Scottish football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good afternoon and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on a weather-hit day of Scottish football after the international break. Rangers v Dundee United goes ahead, but not until 3.45. Another slight delay ahead of St Johnston v Killy. St Mirren Aberdeen should be on for now, with Ross County against Motherwell on despite travel concerns. And Celtic head through to Hearts later tonight with an decimated card down the leagues as well. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me this afternoon you have, it's just the two of them, Gordon DL and Mark Wilson.
Yeah, a staggered start across the country. Some of that was pre-planned, obviyously up at Dens Park and at Tynecastle where Celtic visit Hearts. But the weather has made the other ones start at later times. 3.45 for Rangers against Dundee United, and obviously a delay at McDermott Park as well, and Motherwell against Ross County. Will that go ahead? It's looking likely at the minute, but the travelling fans, I don't think we'll be able to make it there. So an interesting day ahead with some blustery, wet and snowy conditions.
Yeah, when I woke up this morning, Gordon, I was thinking, will we even have a show this afternoon? Fortunately we have. There's still a few games, still a lot of talking points. I was a bit concerned there about St Kevin's out to the Clyde Bank game, but I know where he is now. But I'm looking forward to it. And I'll tell you right now, I wished I was one of the boys round about the ground, sitting there, taking in the atmosphere, enjoying the game. Get a good Bovril, it's going to be cold.
What a day to have only you two. You're going to need to up your efforts. No Hugh Keevans to take the heat off you and talk like he does, especially when they've got fewer games to get our teeth stuck into as well. So it'll be fun, if nothing else. If you're stuck in the house, get the blanket on, get the heating on, curl up between now and 6 o'clock, and Gordon DL will keep you company. That doesn't sound right, does it? No, I'll take that back. Mark Wilson and Gordon DL will try and entertain you between now and 6 o'clock. So you can tweet us all afternoon at Clyde SSB. We'll open the phones. Listen, this is what radio's made for. A bit of chaos, a bit of bad weather. We're here to try and inform. We're here to try and keep you company. So let's get stuck right in, or as much as we can. Where should we go first? One of these days where like the show plan kind of goes out the window, the structure goes out the window. Let's just go Ibrox, because it'll have the biggest crowd, it'll have the largest number of people heading there. Gabriel is there. What's the state of play there, Gabriel?
Well, the state of play, Gordon, is I don't believe a word that Dazzler's saying. He wishes he was here. I've just had to clean my desk and seat with toilet roll because it's covered in sleet and snow. That is the state.
Good job you always carry a toilet roll in your pocket as well.
He's always
as you told us over the summer.
A
so that's good.
Pack in Germany, that's full of them.
That's good that you were prepared. What about the football though?
No, you boys laughing at me. It always comes in handy when you least expect it. They've just cleaned the pitch as well. The snow is off the surface here in Govan. But of course we know the game is delayed until 3.45 due to traffic restrictions all over the country. The United bus is struggling to get down the road. Slow, really slow on the East Coast, and particularly in the Perth area going up to the Broxton roundabout as well. Just to make matters worse here at Ibrox, the roof in the media room caved in. A burst pipe due to the weather. So we might have to do post-match out on the track in the sleet and the snow, COVID style. And to top it all off, the pre-match meal, which is usually a nice hot dinner, was gone. Cold sandwiches.
Wait, hold on a minute, right? No. We're supposed to be here speaking on behalf of the people and like sticking up for fans and talking about how treacherous it is out there. And you're worried because you couldn't get your free meal in the Ibrox press room. Bring yourself back down
to
earth, please.
That's his best report, mate. Keep going, Gabriel. Uh-huh. I'm
I think we've scared him off. Are you still there?
I'm still here.
Oh, good.
I'm
right,
still
carry
here.
On, sorry.
No, but as you were saying, kickoff is delayed until 3.45, Gordon. So we haven't actually had team news yet. We usually would have had it out of Ibrox around 1.45, but we're still waiting for that. I'll let you know when the United bus does arrive and when the teams are out on the pitch training. But as it stands, there's no fans in the stadium and we are 45 minutes delayed.
But that, you think, is going to stick, Gabriel? You know, the pitch is fine, presumably. The surrounding areas, I assume, won't get any worse now. We should have a similar climate here. You think we'll be okay for 3.45?
Yeah, the pitch looks fine. The pitch is certainly playable from what I'm hearing, and certainly from what I can see. The snow has been pushed off. There's a bit of light sleet here, in Glasgow, but it's not lying. I don't expect it to get any worse. As long as United can get here, and as fans can get, if fans can get in safely, this game will go ahead, hopefully at 3:45. As I say, I'll keep you up to date with all of the latest.
I've got this notion completely made up in my head that they can't quite pick the teams because they just try to figure out who's best suited to the snow in the cold weather.
It's interesting there. It's all about the surroundings, and it's all about Dundee United team bus, everything like that, Gordon. The pitch is probably perfectly playable. It makes a lot of sense, obviously, if Dundee United can't get there. Look,
want me to text my good Scottish mate Jim to see where he is?
Yeah, Jim knows the Scottish weather, being a Baileyston boy from Ireland. But I've got to say, it's not the best preparation for Dundee United, because usually a team will turn up a lot later and give themselves more time in an away game. But look, it's what it is. You've just got to go on with it.
For those who missed the reference, this goes back to Thursday night when Gordon DL thought on the quiz that Jim Goodwin was Scottish. Anyway, I'll tell you what was a mistake. Starting this show at 2 o'clock, we should have started it
should
at
have
half
postponed
two,
it.
Half three. We could have pushed it back a bit.
Played a couple of records.
Because Roger Hanna has got a big update from Paisley. No.
Yeah, the update from Paisley is there is now going to be a 2:55 p.m. pitch inspection with the potential of a 4 p.m. kickoff here. There are stewards, there are St Mirren staff, St Mirren fans on the pitch currently shoveling the snow off. I'm trying my hardest, Gordon, to shovel it back on as quick as I can to get this game off. But at the minute, it's looking that it would be a 4 o'clock kickoff if we get the game going. There is no guarantee we will get the game going. John Beaton, the referee, has been out on the pitch with Jimmy Tillian and Stephen Robinson. There are various areas of concern. The snow is piling up round about the perimeter of the ground as they're shoveling it off. I'm not sure where the two linesmen are supposed to run, where corners are going to get taken from. It is very chaotic scenes in Paisley. If we get football, we won't get it until 4 o'clock at the earliest.
That's an interesting one, Roger. Is that? You'd struggle to second guess the logic on a lot of these things. But I guess if Aberdeen fans have risked it, and if they were managed to make it, they'll be there already. So you're just gonna trying to give the game the best possible chance today. Is that the way the decision will have been reached?
Yeah, I can only assume so, Gordon. I mean, a couple of telltale signs. Teams have not been announced. Normally they're announced at 1:45. Neither club has tweeted team lines yet. They have not opened any of the stands to supporters as we stand. There's a lot of people outside coming along as they would for a 3 p.m. kickoff. The turnstiles are not open. There's nobody in here other than players, the staff, the media, and the people shoveling the snow off this pitch at Paisley. The scenes are quite remarkable. There is still an awful lot of snow on this pitch. I don't know what it'll be like. The bits will have got the snow off, Gordon. It looks okay. It doesn't look frozen. It doesn't look, you know, waterlogged or anything like that. But it's still a big effort to get all this snow off. And I think John Beaton will come out at 5:55 and make a call.
What are we looking at? Sort of 50-50 in your mind then at the moment? Is it that much in the balance?
Well, I was down pitch side there about 5 minutes ago, just before the show started, and I was told 50-50 at best.
Best? Well, that sounds pretty ominous. Mark Wilson.
This is where the Scottish media have to play their part and get down there on the pitch as well, with the shoes on and the shovels, and help get the game on. Roger, get yourself down there.
I've been shoveling it back on.
You'll be Roger, look, you're a professional. You've got to stay there. 50-50. What side of the 50 are you on? Negative or plus?
Listen, I'm here, I want the game on. But can I tell you, seeing times like this, you know who your friends are, Daz. I've just had a message from your mate, the Penguin, who is boarding the 220 Emirates flight to Dubai en route to Bali.
Yeah,
he's got some cash, he says,
I'll wave to you at the window as you're shoveling the snow.
Wow, Fraser Wishart, is this on PFA business? Surely the PFA conference can't be in Bali this year. The FIFA Pro or whatever it's called. This must be a holiday.
I've absolutely no idea. You know what he's like. He's a jet set. All the money he's got. That was a huge success on Netflix. You imagine the money he's got for that show.
Hey Roger, just to let you know, if the game does get called off, don't think for 1 minute you're heading up the, was it the M74 back home? You'll be heading in towards Clydebank, my friend. 77, sorry. But you'll be heading back into Clydebank, my friend.
If that's the case, I'll bring sandwiches.
Where are we generally, Roger, then, in terms of, because the football at the moment still becomes a bit of an afterthought. The story, or sorry Hugh, the narrative right now is all around you know, should games be on? Should they be called off? When are they called off? Are fans an afterthought? All this sort of stuff. Can you broad brush this, or does it need to be taken on a case by case? Because in a weird way, the most interesting one here is probably Dingwall, where that's going to be the hardest journey for sure. If for Motherwell fans going up the A9, you know, snow gates were closed earlier on. Motherwell are advising their own fans not to travel, and yet it's the only game that's going to go ahead bang on 3 o'clock. Motherwell went there and stayed last night, so the team were there. The match officials are there. Ross County are obviously there. The pitch is clearly fine, and that one goes ahead at 3 o'clock. Is that right? Is it wrong? How do we please everyone here?
Well, listen, you said, are the fans an afterthought? Yes, the fans are an afterthought. There is no doubt in a day like this that the supporters, the welfare, the safety of the supporters is well down the list of priorities at the SPFL. They just want the game on. Let's get the game on. There's a couple of games in TV tonight. Let's get them on. Oh, but you know, you can't get Motherwell fans to Dingwall. Ah, never mind. Let's just get a game on anyway. They're not bothered. They want the game on. I saw a rare bit of common sense in Scottish football yesterday. Elgin City and Clyde took the decision to postpone their game at Boro Briggs today, and it was a decision taken by the clubs, not by the league, so that the Clyde supporters, the Clyde team, the Clyde staff didn't need to travel in treacherous road circumstances. Stormbert has already claimed lives today, Gordon, and the SPFL are quite happy for supporters, for staff. I've spoken to some staff at your club, Motherwell, who got as far as the Broxton roundabout at Perth, were almost involved in a road collision there and had to turn and come back after the club said, listen, don't even risk it. We tried to send staff to Dingwall today who were turned and sent home. I know David Fields in terrible trouble in the M80 trying to get to Perth for the Kilmarnock game. I know the Kilmarnock team bus had terrible trouble. I think Cove versus Stenhousemuir's off because the Stenhousemuir team bus nearly came off the road. If common sense had prevailed, they would just say to games like Motherwell up at Dingwall, don't be silly, we'll postpone it, we'll play it on a Wednesday night in February. But unfortunately, common sense isn't in very big supply in a day like this at the SPFL.
I like the logic, Mark, and I like to think we sort of stand for kind of sticking up for fans and always having their best interests, so totally get it, and I really hope that is the priority going forward. But I wonder then, as a player, I mean, if you're a Motherwell player, as an example, you're there, you were there last night, and that pitch is playable. You will have sympathy for sure, and you will want your fans to come up. But Roger's alternative there is you need to go back up in a midweek in February.
Yeah, I mean, that is a problem. So if you're there, I think as a player, as the management, the people out there on the ground, of course, play it, because you do have to reschedule, you do have to go back up, you do have to make the journey. You're going to have to travel down anyway. You've already done the travelling, so of course play every sympathy with the fans. But again, wee bit like COVID, where the fans had to stay at home. The one thing I would agree with Roger is make a decision on that really early though in all the games. We all knew this storm was going to hit. We all knew that it was going to bring snow. So the decisions could have taken much earlier. But if you're up there as a team, and I'm surprised that Dundee United aren't down here as a team as
last
well
night,
because Aberdeen, I take it, would have came down last night and stayed over. I know there's an expense to that, but as long as the teams are here, you can go ahead, get them on, with sympathy to the fans within that though.
What do you think, Gordon? Is it that simple?
Probably not, because you've got two different arguments. You've got the supporters that want to go and support their team, want to go and see every game, want to be there, want to be involved. They pay their money. I totally take that on board. And then you've got a Mark's argument as a player, and you're looking at it as a player. I would probably want to play it as well. But then there's the other side. If I'm up there and, you know, I've got three or four of my big hitters missing, and I'm really looking for a result, then I'm wanting the game off. I've been in that situation. You know, I've been in a situation where I'm travelling to a game, and I know I've got a depleted squad, and the weather's poor, and I'm hoping I get to call the games off. But if you're there and everything's okay, as players, as a player who's prepared all week, went up there, stayed overnight, they know the pitch is perfect. As a player, yes.
I think
as a supporter, I really feel for them.
When you're talking about the players, the professionals and the manager, when we talk about fixture congestions further down the line, when you've got this free week and you're up there, of course you want to play if the pitch is okay. And again, you can have sympathy for the fans, but it's unfortunate. You'd rather get the game underway when they can, because the weather in this country, who's to say that doesn't happen in a midweek again, and you're pushing things further down the road. So
I think that's a, I think that's a great point. We could end up a couple of months down the line, we could get all of a sudden bad weather and we're, the games are piling up. We've had that before. If you've got an opportunity and the pitch is playable, you're there. There's no problem with the travelling. You're there. Then, unfortunately, and as I say, I can hear fans screaming down the phones at us just now, you've got to play the game.
Not having it, Roger.
Well, listen, I'm here. I'm sure Jimmy Tillane and the Aberdeen players will want to play the game. I'm just looking. Grim Shinnie has just come out there to have a walk across the pitch, see what it looks like. A lot of the Aberdeen players have been out already to have a look along with Jimmy Tillane. There's still an awful lot of snow to be cleared off this pitch, Gordon. As we say, they're looking at a 5-3 inspection from John Bainton. It would lead to a 4 o'clock start, but still no turnstiles open, no team lines announced by the clubs or anything like that. The game is still very much in the balance.
Does that surprise you, Roger? Because, you know, the Rangers game's delayed till 3:45, and which we already know, you know, is the case. Why is this decision only being taken now, if that makes sense, at St Mirren?
I don't know. St Mirren tweeted early on this morning, well, I say early this morning, probably back of 11 o'clock this morning, asking for volunteers to come along to the Smyzer and help them get the snow off the park. I think they were surprised by the sudden fall of snow early this morning. I think it was more than was forecast. I think they felt comfortable, if the forecast had been right, they would have been able to deal with it. They're still struggling to get it off just now, and I mean, I'm looking, I'm trying to count the people. I mean, there are dozens of people here with snow shovels trying to get it all off the pitch and hopefully get this game going. I believe they're expecting a good crowd. You know, it's another very good result a couple of weeks ago, winning at Hibernia and Aberdeen, obviously. Could go top of the Premiership with a positive result here, even if it was just for a few hours before Celtic play at Tynecastle tonight, Gordon. They would be keen to play the game. I think the away allocation of tickets was sold some days ago, as you can imagine, the support that Jimmy Tillane has inspired, you know, up in Aberdeen this season. So it was a game that everyone was looking forward to, but I think it's a game that's still in the balance.
Right, David Friel has eventually made it to Perth. You can just, you don't even really need to talk about football. You can just tell us about your travel journeys and how that game looks at the moment.
Yeah, Gordon, got here eventually. To put it in perspective, it normally takes me about 45 minutes from the Cumbernauld Riviera to get up here. And I think that was about 2.5 hours it took me. My sympathies go to Kilmarnock fans. To be perfectly honest with you, I've got great reservations about this game going ahead. The stadium footprint around McDermott Park, if you want to call it that, is treacherous outside. The roads were treacherous. Stuck at Castle Cary for a good hour. So Kilmarnock fans, who it would probably be an hour and a half hour, 45 minutes normally, are going to really, really take a long time to get here. The Kilmarnock media team have just arrived. I think the team bus was delayed. I'm also told that some of the St Johnston players coming from the Central Belt were delayed as well, so I'd be interested to know what Derek McInnes thinks about it. The pitch looks okay. It's still, you know, covered in certain sections. I don't know if they're going to do a bit more work on it. There's a couple of groundsmen out there just now. But in terms of the fans having to travel through those conditions and try and get up here, and the snow is really bad up in Perth, you know, I do have reservations, and I do wonder whether the governing body should have really used a bit more common sense and just called this game off.
But the I mean, that's an interesting one though, because of all the ones that have been pushed back, this is supposed to kick off the earliest, is it not?
Yeah, it is, Gordon, but I mean, I've not seen Derek McInnes or any of these players yet, so I think Kilmarnock have arrived now, but I'm not 100% sure how many away fans will actually be able to make the journey. I'm kind of hearing second hand tales of people hitting real trouble, and others have just turned around and decided not to kind of stay on the M80 as it was just around Castle Cary, because the tailback was so bad in terms of, there was just trucks abandoned at the side of the road. So it's meant to kick off at 3:15. I've not had an update in the kind of 5 minutes since I've been here, but I do have a lot of sympathy for the Kilmarnock fans having to travel.
That's a proper journey, that, you know, trying, as David's outlined for people who know the geography, if David's taking that long from Cumbernauld, you add on a lot to get from Ayrshire to that.
Yeah, Kilmarnock to Castle Cary, you're probably talking a good hour anyway or over that, then to be hit by that sort of delay certainly isn't ideal, and you don't blame people for just turning round. And I'm thinking of the players as well, because uncertainty is a thing that you don't want on match day. Remember, you are there to do a job, and while we all sympathise with the fans because they pay their money to go and watch, the players have a professional job to do. If they're at the stadium and they don't know if the game's going ahead or not, getting into the right mindset to go into a game that's important. It's an important weekend in the Premiership, and a lot of teams are uncertain about what's going on. This has gone back to David Friel's point then, and Roger, maybe the governing body should have taken heed of the warning that we all saw was coming and just made the right decision.
I could be wrong, Roger, because I can't remember the specific dates or the details, but there's something in my memory. It feels like last season we got a bit better at the preemptive postponements. Am I off on that? I feel like last season things changed and we did get in a bit earlier.
I think you're absolutely right, Gordon, and I think it made common sense to do so. There were a couple of late ones. I think the pitch at Dens Park a couple of times forced late call-offs, but in the main, I think you were quite correct. This is quite an unusual set of circumstances. I'm just trying to listen to the tannoy here.
It's just what you've told us, don't worry.
Just confirming you, 2:55 for a 4 o'clock kick-off. There are obviously a lot of supporters on this, David called it, the stadium footprint outside this miser here, waiting to get in. It's just really to give them a bit of clarity about what is going on. We will get clarity, I hope, when John Beaton comes out at 5-3. I'm just looking, there are Aberdeen players. I see Dimitar Mitov, I see Ross Doohan, his backup goalkeeper, Nicky Devlin. They're coming out for a walk around about the pitch, but you know, hard though the people are working to clear this snow, it is a lengthy, laborious process. I can't see this all being cleared in time for the inspection at 2:55. It'll be interesting to see what take John Beaton and his assistants, who are going to have to run through piles of snow up and down the sides of the pitch, what they make of it.
Do you want to do a travel bulletin? Yeah. We turn you into like the travel correspondent for Clyde One. Do you fancy that?
Yeah, but I need information, I don't know what roads are blocked.
We give you a travel script.
You know what I mean? What's the tailbacks and stuff like that?
Put on a voice though, act like Cassie or Amber or something. Yeah. And see, you fancy it? Give this man a script. This will be good because he's not even had the chance to look at it first. So this will be really good. Hold on. Are you ready? Just tell me when you're ready and I'll give you the music.
Hold on, what am I reading?
The full thing.
Alright, okay.
It's a travel update.
Yeah.
Right, hold on, are you ready? Clyde
One. Yes, M8 westbound are just passable. Long delays due to snow from M9 Junction 2 to Junction 3 A899 Livingston Road. Hazardous driving conditions due to snow on the A74. What does M stand for?
Just carry on.
Okay. In both directions from Junction 13, M74, Junction 13, Abington, to Junction 15, A701, Beetock, forward stroke, Mother.
I've heard enough. Let's leave it there. We've got another update as well. Ross County, Motherwell, it was the only one that was going to go ahead at 3. It's now gone back to 3:15, but only because of a VAR issue. Nothing to do with the weather. This is incredible. And in amongst all this madness, I'm annoyed at that, because that has done us out of at least a little quirk, something that we could remember going forward, because I thought we were going to have surely the unprecedented scenario, 6 games all on the same day with 6 different kickoff times. What a novelty that would have been, but it now looks like that might not be the case. We'll go back round for the latest update next.
Action as it happens. Your reaction from 5 on the open line. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Fairly chaotic day in store across Scottish football. Gordon DL and Mark Wilson, surely the men to bring some calm to the chaos. Let's go back around some of the grounds for the very latest updates. Still on track at Ibrox for what, Gabriel?
We are still on track for that 3:45 kickoff. Gordon, fans are entering the stadium now. Referee Don Robertson has been out on the pitch as well, just inspecting it. Certainly looks playable. Snow all being pushed to the sides. It was just mainly the fact that Dundee United and other supporters were struggling to make the game. We understand that the Dundee United bus is now here. And we've just got team news out of the changing rooms here at Ibrox. Come through right now so I can give you a run through 1-11. It'll be Jack Butland in goal, a defence of Dujon Sterling, John Souter, Robin Proper and Shefty. It'll be Connor Barron, Nicola Raskin and Mohamed Diamande in midfield. Bejrami and Cherny on the wings with Dessers up top. So just 2 changes from their game 2 weeks ago against Hearts, with Proper and Sterling coming in. Big news, No James Tavernier. He is on the bench for Rangers today.
We want to talk about actual football instead of weather for a second. Do we do that?
Let's talk about what you would call the big news.
I mean, how could you not? Because all that's not a rest. He's been off for 2 weeks.
Yeah, so that looks to me like, I think this manager is slightly now bringing James Tavernier's career at Rangers to an end. Tavernier, throughout his Rangers playing career, has played mostly every game when fit, always picked, always available. He's come under a bit of criticism this season, and all of a sudden you see him now slowly at times. He's been put on the bench. This is a big game for him today. Remember, Dundee United are going very well. This is a big, big game at Ibrox, and he's decided to leave his captain as well on the bench. So I think you are now slowly seeing the end of James Tavernier at Ibrox.
Well, I would agree with that. It's sort of like the changing of the guard, and it has to come sooner rather than later, I think, in the Rangers fans' eyes, because you have to go with performances, never mind legacy or what you've done in the past at clubs. Clubs like Rangers and Celtic and the big clubs depend on players playing well every single week. Now, James Tavernier has struggled for form. The manager stuck by him, you've got to say, for a large period of the season so far, and kept playing him, and he's come under fire, and Tavernier's performances haven't got any better. So for me, it's the right decision. You've had two right backs here. Now Casemiro's going to be out for a while, but Sterling's back fit, and he showed when they went away in Europe that Sterling could play that position and copes perfectly well. So I think it's the right decision. Tavernier, of course, will still have a part to play at Rangers from now to the end of the season, but it's no longer guaranteed that he's going to be a starter every single week. And of course, it's big news because he wears the armband as well. So with that comes a change of captain, and it'll be Butland, I assume, who'll take on that role. But many Rangers fans who are going along to the game today are getting their wishes. James Tavernier won't be the captain, he won't be starting, and it's a fresher look about the side.
Are you surprised to hear that news, Roger Hanna?
No, I think everything was moving in that direction. Just simply, as Chris Boyd wrote in his column in The Sun this morning, Gordon, there's been no fullback talked more about in the history of Scottish football than James Tavernier. A lot of it positive, 100 goals, 100 assists, led Rangers to a European final, won every trophy they can win, but his form doesn't merit being in the team anymore. It's as simple as that. It comes to every player at some stage in their career. They're left out purely on form, and that's why he's left out of the team. Dujon Sterling is playing better than James Tavernier.
Yeah, I suppose, Mark, it just feels like it's slightly interesting timing, because the message from Philippe Clement was that the game time was going to be managed, if you like, which is fine. But this comes after the break. The game before the break, James Tavernier started. So I know what Roger means in the wider sense, but how can you be draw? You know, how is it a form thing when you started the last game? And it seems like interesting timing.
Well, you can only assume it's going with what he's seen in between. I guess all managers surely pick the majority of their teams through what they see in training from week to week. And James Tavernier and Sterling's been at the club while everybody else's been on an international break. I can only assume it's that. James Tavernier played against Hearts, had a part to play in the goal. I remember us talking about it, how it was a big afternoon for him. We chatted through it that he started quite well, did things okay. So it wasn't his worst performance. I mean, the rest of the team were pretty abject in their performance, really, on that day. But he certainly wasn't the worst. And now he's out the team.
Did he not sub him after about 70
minutes? He came off in the game.
Yeah, about 70 minutes. Obviously, we all talked about how good Hearts were in the second half. I think the manager obviously wasn't happy with certain aspects of, you know, the play and the team. And Tavernier suffered. When do you see Tavernier? That's at semi-final against Motherwell at Hampden, getting subbed in the second half early. 70 minutes against Hearts at Ibrox. You start as a player to know, especially when you've been James Tavernier, that's played nearly every minute, every game, first pick, captain, arms band. All of a sudden, you're starting to get subbed. You're starting to start the games on the bench. You're getting brought on, not as a right back, but to be played one in front of the right back. Look, I'm a massive, I think Tavernier's been brilliant, but the writing's on the wall for him now.
I think with Sterling as well, it's an interesting one, because even up until a couple of weeks ago, Sterling's still coming on in the midfield area. So it's not as if Philippe Clement has backed him. This guy's back fit. He's an out and out right back. I think many Rangers fans, and me included, I think he is a right back. I think Sterling's best position is right back. However, he still finds himself centre midfield or sometimes playing further forward. So if you're James Tavernier, and you're seeing that as well, and you're seeing someone coming in and taking your place now, Olympiacos away, then coming on to replace you, you maybe think the writing's on the wall here. But he'll have every opportunity to regain his form and regain his place. But it's up to James Tavernier. It's no longer guaranteed. I'm sure Daz played with players in his career that just played no matter what. And that used to annoy me when I've seen players just getting played and you're thinking they're not performing in training, they're poor in games, but they always were certain starters. Maybe James Tavernier's been like that this season, but Clement has drawn a line, I feel, under it now.
Yeah, he's changed to his back four from the Hearts. And the 1-1-0, okay, the second half performance wasn't the best, and Hearts, I thought, deserved something out of the game. You look at Balogun's been, is it because his age? He's brought Proper back in there. So he's went big today. He's changed to his back four. He's obviously kept up midfield three and the three up front to go and try and win him the game. Well, interesting game. But listen, Dundee United in good form. They're coming to Ibrox with a lot of confidence. I'll be just interesting to see how they line up against Rangers. Will they go in the front foot or will they sit back?
Gabriel, Dundee United team for us, if you could.
Yep, just got it as well, Gordon. Two changes for Jim Goodwin's side as well since that brilliant 3-0 win against Ross County last time out. Kai Fotheringham and Glenn Middleton come into the side. And I've got to say, just from looking at it on paper, it does look like quite an attacking team. Jack Walton in goal, Ryan Strain, Declan Gallagher, Kevin Holt, and then Glenn Middleton, Savelge, Babunski, Fotheringham, Stevenson, Ferry and Dalby. Substitutes Richards, Malt, Odada, Adeboyega, Van der Sande, Thompson, Constable, Sturton and Meshack.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how that lines up. Now, Jim, we spoke about it before, and when he came to the Premiership, he ripped up his formation and decided to go 3-4-3 and decided to recruit his players to play that formation. Now, it's one thing doing it at home, and he tried it against Rangers, but remember, he changed pretty quickly into that game because the system wasn't working at Tannadice when Rangers beat them 1-0. But against most other teams, he's went with his formation that he began with and he trusted, and it served him well. Going to Ibrox, so different kettle of fish.
Do you know what? I totally agree with what you've got to say there, right? But I look at Rangers this season, Mark, and they're not setting the heather on fire. You look at Hearts, right? Hearts are sitting second bottom of the league. Went to Ibrox. Yes, Rangers got off to the best possible start. Second half, Hearts probably dominated the game more than they've ever for a long time at Ibrox. I think if you're looking at this Rangers team, that some of the supporters aren't happy with the manager, not happy with the captain, obviously left out today, not happy with the style of play. They're not scoring a lot of goals. I think that you've got to go there and say, do you know what? Probably won't get a better chance. Really be on the front foot. Try and take the game to Rangers. I know it's not easy because you've got to get the ball first and foremost. If Rangers play at their best capabilities today, Rangers will win the game. But you've got to try and go and upset that. And I think if you go with the usual, what a lot of teams do, sit back, hope to hit in the counter-attack, give Rangers the ball, Rangers will win the game. So you're better going out there and saying, right, this is our opportunity, let's get at them.
We are still 30 minutes away, more than 30 minutes away from the first game to kick off in the Premiership this afternoon. It is a day like we've never really experienced before, because the vast majority of the games, in fact all of the games in the top flight, are on. As far as we know, they're just not going to kick off at 3 o'clock. So again, we'll give you the latest update next.
The team with the biggest support in Glasgow and the West. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Latest weather and travel updates to follow. The football is an afterthought today because it's causing havoc. The Premiership games are still on, they're just all over the place. None going to kick off at 3 o'clock. We already had some planned changes, of course, with Dundee and Hibs later on, and then Hearts Celtic even later than that. But we've been forced into these reshuffles elsewhere. Roger Hanna, you just biding your time? Anything new from St Mirren?
No, nothing at all, Gordon. We're still waiting. I mean, there is still an awful lot, as I know, the risk of repeating myself, there's still an awful lot of snow in this football pitch to get off before the 255 inspection. If it passes the 255 inspection, then I have to say, very much in the balance, we would have a 4 o'clock kickoff. I note Montrose versus Annan, the only surviving League One game, is back to a 5 o'clock kickoff this evening. I'm not sure you're not extending the show to cover that one. There's not a single 3 o'clock kickoff in the SPFL today. With Ross County, Motherwell, 3:15. I think St Johnson, Kilmarnock for David, 3:15. Ibrox for Gabs, 3:45. We're looking here potentially at a 4 o'clock. And then you've got Dundee Hibs at 5:45. You've got Hearts Celtic at 7:45. Goodness knows what travelling conditions will be like for Celtic supporters, for Hibernian supporters, both going to and coming home from those fixtures. It's turned into a bit of a farce of a Saturday, Gordon.
Having said that, I think the whole point is that conditions are only getting better as the day goes on. So I think clearly the issues are, hopefully, I don't know if they'll improve fast enough, but I think clearly the conditions were worse earlier, and that's why games are getting that just an extra hour. Gordon, might be enough to get them on, or an extra hour and a half. It seems to be that that's been part of the problem, was the conditions this morning.
Yeah, look, clubs are doing everything they can to get their games on. Of that, there's no doubt, but I'm feeling sorry for fans. You know, for instance, St Mirren, right? You're turning up there. Some fans go along to the game early. They're turning up there at, what, 1:45, 2 o'clock. We're now sitting here, and 3 o'clock, there'll be an inspection. If the game goes ahead, 4 o'clock. It's another 2 hours hanging about, Gordon. You know, you can't jump your car and say, right, I'll go home, then come back. Look, we touched on it earlier. For players and coaches and managing, you've prepared all week. If you're there and you look at a pitch and it's playable, go and play the game. For supporters, I think it's completely different. You heard David Friel, as much as I enjoyed his journey, right, I feel sorry for anybody that would have to go through that. And there's a lot of supporters turning back, and, you know, they think, right, OK, we can't go and support our team. I think it's ludicrous. I think we should have looked at the weather. I think we should have sat down, had a chat. These games should all have been...
The problem is, right, if we looked at the weather, and the SFA looked at the weather, and they thought, you know what, we'll make the sensible decision. Let's just bin this weekend off. And we got up today, and like in this country, it's unpredictable, and it's not as bad as we first thought. We'd be on this show having a go at them.
At 12 o'clock, let's not be kidded here. At 12 o'clock, you can make a call for most fans to stop them travelling. Okay, there's one or two games there that fans have to travel a little bit of a distance, but the majority of the supporters can make a call at 12 o'clock. Let's be honest about it.
But that's what I mean. Would you call a game off at 12 if you could get it on at 4?
Only if the supporters know the game's on at 4, Gordon. There's people turning up at
and you're doubting because of the fact you still don't know for sure.
Yeah. So all of a sudden, these guys are they've travelled, they've made their way through terrible conditions, they're turning up there. They're probably sitting in their cars just now, you know, for 2 o'clock. Where's the enjoyment in that in football? Sitting there and you still don't know.
You'd be in the pub.
No, well, me.
He used to enjoy sitting in his car numerous occasions, didn't
he?
If I was a player, I'd be in the pub. But what I'm saying is, I just feel it's, I feel for the supporters, really do. I'm on the sympathy. They're, right, okay, there's David Friel. What, 2 hours for a journey that takes him 45 minutes? And he might not even get a game. that's the thing.
Hold on, don't feel sorry for David Friel. I've seen him walking to a game from Cumbernauld to Hampden one time. That took him about 3 years.
Well, listen, that game is on as far as we know, and you have team news, David Friel, so let's go in normal Saturday afternoon mode.
Yeah, the game is definitely on. The two teams are out warming up just now. A bit cold, but we've got a game, and I think both managers be keen to get back into the action. I do think the break probably came at a good time for both. St Johnstone and Kilmarnock probably need a bit of a reset after some poor results in the last few weeks. St Johnstone have lost 3 in the bounce. Kelly lost to Dundee and Celtic before the break. I think also for Simo Vallecari, who's pretty much still new in the door at St Johnstone, he got some time to work in things over the break. He's got some new players to blood in, and I think he will hope it's a fresh start for his side. St Johnstone started the day in 10th position, but for all they've had a really kind of poor start to the season, changed their manager, they can actually leapfrog Kelly, who's sitting in 8th place today with a win. Kelly have lost 8 of their last 12 games against St Johnstone. They were beaten 3-0 by St Johnstone at Rugby Park back in August, a kind of rare highlight of the early weeks of the season. for the Perth side, but I think Derek McInnes will be looking for a lot more from his own side, and he'll be expecting a big performance today. As I say, Killie probably just haven't really got going. They had European football at the start of the season. They have still had some eye-catching results, beating Rangers, winning at Tynecastle, but I think they've really struggled for the consistency probably that you kind of came to know about Derek McInnes' side. They haven't really got going. I'm sure he's looking for a strong festive period coming up. Losing Stuart Finlay, that's a blow for Kilmarnock. He's out for the long term. He's also without Matty Kennedy today. Derek McInnes, he's picked up a knock, but I still look at this Killie team and I think Derek McInnes will be feeling it should be one that's pushing for the top six and should be good enough to get a result today. In terms of the team, St Johnson lost to Motherwell last time out. They made four changes. Cameron, Douglas, Smith, Sidibe all out. Mikulic, Raymond, Kipk and Kimpy Oka in. Young Mackenzie Kipk getting a chance from the start up front. So St Johnson line-up looks like a 4-3-3 formation. Josh Ray in goals. Dre Wright, Jack Sanders, Bozo Mikulic, Andre Raymond at the back, Graham Carey, Jason Holton, Sven Sprangler in midfield with Mackenzie Kirk, Nicky Clark and Benji Kimpioka up front. St Johnson's subs are Sinclair, Cameron, Nielsen, Essel, Sidibe, Franchik, McPake, Smith and Kucharavi. As for Killie, just that one change from the Celtic defeat. Matty Kennedy being such a big player, he was really looking forward to come back and playing against his former club today as well, but he is out. I'm told he's picked up a knock, so that is a blow, but Danny Armstrong comes in to replace him. So Derek does change his formation quite a lot, and maybe a back three today actually. Robbie McCrory in goals, it's a back three of Lewis Mayo, Joe Wright and Robbie Dees. Danny Armstrong and Corey Ndaba probably as the wing backs, with David Watson, Brad Lyons and Liam Donnelly as a midfield three, and Marley Watkins and Kel Vassell up front. Subs for Killie are O'Hara, Burrows, Anderson, McKenzie, GMS, Polworth, Murray, Cameron and Bainbridge. The referee at McDermott Park is Ian Sneddon and the VAR is Alan Muir.
Must be a difficult time to sort of assess how Kilmarnock get into this game, David. Obviously there's the break now, before that there's the game against Celtic where they did brilliantly. I think everyone thought they were very impressive in terms of the way they performed. They didn't win the game, they couldn't get a result, and also it was a very specific game plan. We totally admired the bravery, and they went man to man and they really tried to nullify Celtic, and they did up to a point. But then this just becomes a very different challenge, I suppose. Does that Celtic performance count for much today?
Yeah, I think it probably does to an extent. You know, I think if you're going and getting beaten 5 or 6 nil like Kilmarnock had the last time against Celtic Rugby Park, it probably dents the confidence. You know, I think they'll probably take some positives from it, but as I said, I just don't feel they've had the consistency. You know, if you look back to even this season, I think they've only ever won two games in the bounce once. That was in October. They beat Kilmarnock, they beat Dundee and then Rangers. You know, there've been a few draws in there. You know, he says so many, we spoke about the red cards earlier in the season, it seems as if every other week Kilmarnock were getting a player sent off, and normally Joe Wright. And I think Derek McInnes just wants to settle everything down. You know, as I said, Matty Kennedy is a blow, and Stuart Finlay is such a big player with his pace and his power at the back for them, but, you know, he does have Robbie Dees to kind of step in as an ideal replacement. I just think he wants the squad to settle down and just get into that rhythm that we saw for so long last season. That was the one thing about Kilmarnock last season. They were so consistent every other week. They would grind out results you know you were going to get from them. I don't think that's really happened this season. I do think European football did hinder them to an extent at the start of the season, but I think Derek, look at the run of fixtures coming up. You know, he's got Dundee again next week, then Rangers, Dundee United. You know, I think he'll be looking to get some strong performances and get some wins on the board.
Yeah, I mean, of course, there's not a great deal between the sides. Mark, you look at St Johnson in 10th on 10 points, so a home win today, they would certainly leapfrog Killie and possibly others, depending on the way results went. So we spoke about this last night. It feels like for every team, this run, this is going to be wall-to-wall stuff here from now until March, it feels like, when the international comes round again. So If a team can start building up a bit of form, a bit of momentum, it could go a long way to turning it into a successful season.
Yeah, and I was going to say, well, home games are crucial for teams mid-table and down, but you remember David reminded us there, it was at Rugby Park that St Johnson probably had one of their best results, best performances of the season, and was Craig Levein still kicking about at that time? Mm-hmm. So that was away from home. But there's no doubt, for St Johnson and Kilmarnock, look, it's been a mixed start for Vallecari. I think you see signs of them playing differently. It's quite interesting to see that Mackenzie Kirk keeps his place up front and plays as Sidibe, because it looked like Sidibe and Kimpioka would be the two that would lead the line and take St Johnson to safety within the season. But Vallecari sees it differently, and he plays Nicky Clark kind of in that hole as well. So plenty of attacking options. For Kilmarnock, you just automatically assume that they are going to find their feet and move up the division. But games like today are so important to get 3 points. I was just saying there, just off fair to you. If you've got a system that was so successful as against the champions and top players and guys like Engels and Hatate couldn't get a touch of the ball, you know, for 45, 50 minutes, 60 minutes until Celtic taking the lead, why would you change it against, you know, lesser players? I thought it was brilliant to watch. I thought it was refreshing to watch.
Would you go man to man against him, Josh?
I just thought the way that Kilmarnock played just nullified the best passing team in the league. Now, of course, St Johnson will play different, but would you change that? Would you change that approach then?
No, I would certainly change going man for man against St Johnson. Yeah, but I wouldn't change the approach in the sense of maybe my shape and everything about it. You've got to take, I think if you're a manager nowadays, you've got to look at one game at a time. You know, you look at the top teams, you look at Brendan Rodgers, right? I know he's got a great squad to pick from, but he goes away to grounds and you're thinking, right, Kyogo or either up front, depending how they're going to play. So Derek McInnes is in that category of being a very experienced manager. I think he's got good players at his disposal. Now, last time against Celtic, completely different, because you're thinking, we could take a sore one. You've seen what they've done to Aberdeen. I think Kilmarnock, if they've got any chance of getting in this top six and getting another good season in top of last year, I think they've got to be the guys that go out and be positive and go on. I'm talking about formations. I wouldn't be changing threes and back to a back four and, you know, sitting midfield players. You've got a system, you've got your players, they've got good players, they've got players that can hurt you. I totally understand why you've done it against Celtic, but against St Johnston today, I don't think he would be going, right, okay, we're going to go man for man on whoever it is in the middle of the park.
Out of possession, I'm talking about. In possession's different. Well, I thought they were good in possession against Celtic. They created three or four clear-cut chances. So it worked both ways.
Out of possession, Derek will always be working on, and every team will be working on, get to the nearest man, get close, get tight, make sure they don't get their head up. Listen, when you play, you've done it, Mark, we've played against, when you play against the top teams, you've got that extra half yard in your step. You know, you're, because you know that, see, if I don't get tight, I'm going to get punished, right? When you play St Johnston and you're maybe that little half yard off, you know they've not got the same quality.
Oh, it's underway in Paisley, not the game, the pitch inspection. Roger Hannah.
Yes, John Beaton and his assistants are out on the pitch just now. They came out, they've gone over to an area away to the left. John Beaton was actually behind the goal, I think, looking at some of the piles of snow. Not quite sure why. He's now coming back across. He's just reached the centre circle. He's going to go to the area away to my right, where the away fans will hopefully be coming in shortly. That's where the majority of the snow is still on the pitch. They're working very hard to get off. There's more volunteers have arrived, St Mirren supporters, to try and help get this snow off the pitch. I think the game's still in the balance, Gordon. I have to say, I've said that since I arrived. There was an awful lot of snow on the pitch. There still is quite a good bit to deal with. I think that's why any potential kickoff, you know, wasn't going to be a 3:15. It wasn't going to be a 3:30. I think they were going to give it as late as they could. And I think 4 o'clock was deemed to be as late as they could. They're going to give it every chance to go ahead. There are, as Dad suggested, an awful lot of supporters outside the Smiles at the minute. I've got friends who have been texting me from outside asking what, you know, the thoughts were. Would they get a game of football this afternoon? John Beaton now, he's going around every area of this pitch to see if there's a chance of this football match taking place.
You do have team news though, incidentally, don't you?
We do have team news. Listen, that's the first positive sign I've had, because, as I say, the turnstiles are not open yet, so the team news is the first positive sign. St Mirren, unsurprisingly, unchanged from the side that won at Hibs a couple of weeks ago. So it's Hilary Balcombe in goal, to same back three, Marcus Fraser, Dazis Palalik, Gogic and Richard Taylor. Across the middle, Elvis Bomono, Killian Phillips, a former Aberdeen loanee, Mark O'Hara, the skipper, and Scott Tanzer, and up top, Conor McMenamin, who scored those two goals at Easter Road, along with Toyosi Olusanya and Greg Kelty on the bench. Big Peter Arminski, the backup keeper, who signed a new contract extension yesterday. Kenny, Declan John, for the first time, the former Rangers player, on that short-term deal to January. Scott, Penman, Smith, Idowu, Iyunga and Mandron. Aberdeen surprisingly make three changes from the side that beat Dundee 4-1 a couple of weeks ago. In come Nielsen, Morris and McGrath. Out go Palaversa, Keskinen and Duke. So it's Dimitar Mitov in goal. Back four of Nicky Devlin, Slobodan Rubicic, Gavin Malloy and Jack McKenzie. It's Sivert Nielsen and Graham Shinney in midfield. Then Shaden Morris, Leighton Clarkson and former St Mirren star Jamie McGrath all tucked in behind Esther Sokla. On the bench, Duhan, Palaversa and Nisbet, Duke, McGrath, Bezoan, Milne, Keskinen and Dante Polvara. His first involvement since May. Horrible knee injuries kept him out for 6 months. He's been working, helping Jimmy Tillina as a set-piece coach at Cormac Park. He's back involved in the first team today. He hopes.
Well, so we have team news. We've got a pitch inspection underway. We'll tell you next if that one goes ahead.
The winning team all season long. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
I was going to say kickoffs are underway. They're not. It should be that case on 3 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon. We're sort of getting there in certain places. Let's get some clarity on Paisley. The pitch inspection has taken place. Roger Hannah.
Yeah, pitch inspection has taken place, and John Beaton, the referee, is happy with the state of the surface here at the Smizer. We will kick off at 4 p.m. The turnstiles, I think, will be open very shortly here in Paisley to allow what we hope is quite a big crowd to come in. We know the Aberdeen, the away allocation was sold out some days ago. I just hope they've actually managed to get themselves to Paisley for the game, Gordon, this afternoon, with the chaos in the road network caused by Storm Bert this morning. There's still a big army of workers out in this pitch. Snow shovels, they've got wheelbarrows trying to get it all off. But I see the Aberdeen coaching staff beginning to come out, beginning to hopefully start a warm-up away to my right here. It is the side of the pitch, actually, where the majority of the snow is still lying. But as somebody, a former player, just said to me a few minutes ago, get them out in the grass. That's the best thing to get the snow away. I think that's what will be happening in the next few minutes.
Yeah, Alan Baxter sent me a tweet to say, get the old orange ball for the 80s out. Game's a good one.
Yeah, I love that.
I need it. Well, only a couple of years ago, did we not play with a yellow ball anyway for?
Yeah, he's doing it.
We still play with it.
It's back in now, isn't it, Roger?
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Certainly the balls being used by the Aberdeen staff are white. The wind's coming out. I don't know whether there is an alternative for match play today. But just delighted. We've been here for quite considerable time already. Daz will be delighted to know it's perishing, but we'll have a game on at last.
He's got a game on and it's only an hour delayed. I'm starting to think he's gone a bit overboard in his criticism.
Do you know something? I've never heard someone praying as much as that Roger Hannah. The game is off there. How many times did he mention there's a lot of snow? A big bit of snow.
A big bit of snow.
And a lot of people have been texting me.
He's booked a table for 4 p.m., isn't he? And he's now cancelling it.
Let's just clarify that text. He get one that was for me. So let's not be kidding here.
David Friel, you've got the yellow ball, don't you? I'm sure that is a thing.
Yeah, it is. No, well, the Kilmarnock, well, I don't want to go too early here, Gordon. St Johnstone are warming up with a white ball and Kilmarnock are warming up with luminous yellow balls, so I don't know whether there's going to be
a meeting.
I know what a mystery. You'll find out in about 5 or 6 minutes, but we'll see what the Ian Snedden, the referee, emerges from the tunnel with. But yeah, there's already a bit of disagreement, I think, over what colour of ball to use here.
Brilliant. This is just unrivaled drama. This, people will be on the edge of their seats. People will be cancelling all their plans to find out what the outcome is going to be. I had a bit of a discussion with Dan, the producer. He said, don't forget the first half and second half teaser. I said, but first and second half of what? When it went, will we just do it now? Because we would normally do it at like 3:05 and end it just before 4 and then so on. Yeah?
Yeah, I think you've got to go with it. Yeah, I think that's... Listen, there's people sitting listening, looking forward to the teaser.
Right, okay. Why not? Mark Wilson, here's a phrase you never thought you would hear. You are Hugh Keevans.
Lovely.
You ready?
Yes.
The first half teaser. With the scottishsun.co.uk/football. For the best football news and opinion online.
Okay, my best Hugh Keevans impersonation. Since 2016, 6 players have moved either way between Hearts and the Old Firm on a permanent basis. Can you name them? So, since 2016, 6 players have moved either way between Hearts and the Old Firm on a permanent basis. Name them.
Come on then, at Clyde SSB, we're looking for one tweet with all of the correct answers and you have to beat everyone else to it. That's the aim of the game, so send it over at Clyde SSB. You have from now until some undefined time in the future, probably just before 4 o'clock. We usually do it in the first half of the 3 o'clock games. There are no 3 o'clock games, so let's just see how we roll. I'll give you till just before 4 o'clock. Get your answers in at Clyde SSB. As far as we know, 2 games kicking off at 4:15, so we're nearly there. Let's do Ross County against Motherwell. Laidlaw in goal for Ross County. Wow, this website I'm looking at, it's got these players in all sorts of a strange order. Let's try and make it in some sense of it. Right, Lopata and Leek at the back for Ross County. Brown, Randall, Nisbet, Harmon and Chilvers in some sort of midfield, with Ronan Hale and Jordan White leading the attack. Motherwell go Aston Oxborough in goal. A back three of Dan Casey, Kofi Balmer and Liam Gordon, Marvin Coletta and Steve Said in the wingbacks, Ewan Wilson, Lennon Miller, Tom Sparrow and Clyde One Super Scoreboards Andy Halliday, all providing some support for Apostolos Stamatopoulos. On the bench for County, Allardyce, Greaves, Denham, Campbell, Telfer, Hamilton, Ifeti, Samuel and Brophy. And as for Motherwell, Zratovsky, Robinson, Payton, Blaney, Katrumbis, Ibie, Connolly, Maswanisi and Tavares on the bench. The league table, Gordon, would tell you that Motherwell would perhaps fancy that, but usually you'd be hoping for, if you're Ross County, you bank on picking up your points at home in games like this, really.
Yeah, they're a mixed bag when it comes to these games. You know, you see them doing very well against teams like Celtic and up there. You never know what you're going to get from them. You're right, Gordon, if they stay in the league, it's going to be their home for them. I think it'll be a difficult game, I really do. I can't see Motherwell losing. I think they're in great form. I think they're playing with a lot of confidence. They've got a good system that suits the players. Look, 3 points for Motherwell would be terrific. If you got one and get down the road, I think you would take that and move on.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, Motherwell ticking along nicely. Sitting there just tucked in behind Dundee United. So anyone on the road is good in this division, but especially when you have to take into consideration everything that they've went through with the travel. If they managed to get 3 points, great. Ross County, you just never know what you're getting, because they have got good individuals, but quite often they churn out poor performances and they give you opportunities. The one thing Motherwell have got in their favour, they've got guys at the top end of the pitch that can take advantage of that. So I think that one's going to be a good game this afternoon, and funny enough, probably the best area for weather. We always associate the north of Scotland
just
with the worst.
Just getting there. Maswanisi, Gordon, he's on the bench, I think primarily due to returning late from international duty, so that's not ideal. You know, that's where it can get a bit difficult after the break.
But there's a positive. He can come off the bench and give you that energy when you need it. He can give you a goal when you need it. I think that Stuart Kettlewell's got a good squad at his disposal. I really do. I think he's got decent players there, i.e. why they're sitting in the top five and going very, very well this season. They've lost one or two players through injuries, but the main man, Andy Halliday, is really performing week in, week out. I can't understand why they're talking about this Lennon Miller when Halliday's floating about.
I hope he scores again. Get him in here on Monday night on the crest of a wave. And you're almost ready to go as well, David Friel. Quick recap of the starting 11s.
Yeah, almost ready to go. Teams will be coming out soon. Gordon St. Johnson, it's Josh Ryan, Gold, Jay Wright, Jack Sanders, Bozo, Mikulic and Andre Raymond at the back. Graham Carey, Jason Holt, Sven Sprangler in midfield. Benji Kimpioka, Nicky Clark and young Mackenzie Kirk up front. As for Kelly, Rob McCrory in goals. Lewis Mayo, Joe Wright, Robbie Deese will be the back three. Danny Armstrong, Corey and Davitt are likely to be the wing-backs, with David Watson, Brad Lyons, Liam Donnelly as a central three, and Mally Watkins and captain Kyle Vassell up front.
Okay, I know it's been hard to keep up, but Ross County, Motherwell and St Johnston, Kilmarnock are going to kick off next.
The expert's opinions. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel are here. We've got the top team round about the grounds, but we've only got two games underway. Hopefully this is all starting to make sense, because the weather has caused chaos. We have St Johnston, Kilmarnock underway, and Ross County, Motherwell also underway. So we do have some semblance of normality on a Saturday afternoon. We're just under 30 minutes away from kick-off between Rangers and Dundee United. 15 minutes after that, St Mirren against Aberdeen will follow, and as planned, it's a 7:45 for Hearts against Celtic. So it's been quite the day, and we're not, in fact, even after all this, David Friel, you're still a couple of minutes behind, not quite underway at St Johnston yet.
Yeah, and I don't know who won the toss, but they've just switched ends, which will just delay things even further. And I don't really know why, because there's no fans behind either goal. But anyway, that's, I think Danny Armstrong is just about to take kick-off now, Gordon. And the answer, everybody was waiting to hear, it's a luminous yellow ball.
Brilliant, yeah. Good. That's fine. I can all sleep well tonight knowing that information. This is causing chaos for your ACCA as well. I suppose we should do it now. Yeah. We can stick them all in. the kickoff later, you've actually got six Premiership right, games okay. today. How are you going to manage this?
Well, here's my ACCA for Sunday, because that would when the games finish. I'll be starting at the top, Rangers, Dundee
United. You'd go in any order
okay,
you
I'm
want.
I'm going to go Rangers to beat Dundee United. I'm going to go St Mirren and Aberdeen a draw. I'm going Kilmarnock to beat St Johnston, Motherwell to beat Ross County, and later on tonight Celtic to beat Hearts.
I will go Rangers will beat Dundee United, draw up at Dingwall between Ross County and Motherwell, a draw at McDermott Park between St Johnston and Killie. Aberdeen will keep their run going by beating St Mirren, Hibs to beat Dundee.
I've not even got Hibs, where are they?
And Celtic to beat Hearts.
Oh, ridiculous. Ridiculous.
What?
I've not got Hibs on my sheet. Who's
page two. Page two. Go on to page two. There's a full list of fixtures.
Is that what PTO said? I was thinking, who are they?
You were thinking potatoes.
Sorry, on page two, I'm going to go Dundee beat Hibs.
Great. Good. You've had us all on the edge of our seats waiting for that one. We've got it. You're in. Let's see if any of you can even get close. But we're underway, slowly but surely, on a Saturday afternoon. Ross County, Motherwell and St Johnston, Kilmarnock. We're edging towards the rest of the fixtures as well. We even gave you a full time a first half teaser. Don't know when it's really going to take place, but it's up and running now. Mark, remind us of the question.
Yes, I will remind you. Since 2016, six players have moved either way between Hearts and the Old Firm on a permanent basis.
Good question. And I can see lots of you trying to get stuck into it, so let's help you along if you're struggling. Mark Nisbet would like to mention Alex Lowry.
No, certainly not.
Not permanent. That's your problem.
Right. Got to listen to the warden. Those people out there got snow in their ears.
From Rangers to Hearts to Rangers.
I know you did.
That's why I've only won.
Yep. I don't know where the word Rangers came into it. That's just where your mind is. You didn't listen.
So, between
Hearts and the Old Firm on a permanent basis.
Okay, so Jamie Dock also went Alex Lowry. Don't know why everyone's falling for that one. That was a loan move. He's back at Rangers, although obviously don't see him very often, but not a permanent deal. So get your thinking caps on. Send us a tweet at Clyde SSB. It's a race. Let's try and do it quicker than everyone else. To win it, you need to get all six, but just throw a name in. If you don't think you can come up with all six, feel free to throw a couple of names in and I'll read them out and see how you are getting on.
The Shugster will be buzzing, won't he? The big derby. Oh, he's in there with Ultras, Bournemouth v Brighton. Brighton away from home.
Is he at
up.
The game? Is he?
Yeah.
If I know a man like you, he'll be there. Yeah.
If he goes to Clyde Bank, Balance he's going to go to Bournemouth and Brighton, surely.
I've actually forgotten where he is. It might be.
Is he? He's down in the South Coast.
Oh, he's got to be at the game then.
Yeah.
Surely.
You would think so. He'll have the radio in the ear like the old days, won't he?
Travelled down overnight. Well, yesterday afternoon. Make sure he was there for the game.
A bright start from Kilmarnock. They're looking sharp early on, which has been a bit of a disrupted morning for them, of course, having to travel. You know, by the looks of it, though, I was trying to figure out the time frame. I think the team bus did get there in okay time. I think it was more Dundee United's clearly has had a proper delay. And again, Mark, I think the thing that I dislike most about days like this is this notion that there is one solution, you know, like, oh, the SPFL should just do this, or the clubs should just do that. You know, all different sets of circumstances at all different parts of the country with so many moving parts. That's not to say you can't do more. I just mean there's not a one size fits all solution. Because
yeah.
I've seen people say, why did Dundee United not come down last night?
Yeah.
I mean, is that valid? You should. It's difficult.
I do think that's a valid point with it, try to slaughter my old club. But I think when you prepare, I think everyone knew what was happening this week, and the weather forecasters quite clearly pointed to Friday and Saturday morning being the worst. I think you'd be better saying we'll go down the night before
I think
Aberdeen.
I think you've got to get yourself down, prepare properly. Don't get me wrong, listen, how days have changed. I remember playing with Partick Thistle. We were playing Kilmarnock at Rugby Park. We get changed in the bus. We ran off the bus, right onto the pitch, warmed up and played the game.
Seriously?
100%. I'll never forget it.
What'd you get changed in the bus for?
Because we were running late.
Why'd you? Surely you couldn't have changed, saved that much time.
Yeah, well, of course you would. By the time you arrived there, went in the dressing room, got all the stuff.
So wait there a minute.
So we get
so the kit was underneath. No, the bus to get the kit on.
When we left Fir Hill,
right,
we get handed a kit and everything from the thing. We ran
on
the bus.
You were running late.
We knew we were running late. Get changed on the bus right off. The bus right through the main door at Kilmarnock, right on the pitch, warm up and played the game.
Why did he get changed at Fir Hill for before he's got on the bus?
Because we were running late, Mark. What party running late are you not picking
well,
up?
All I can imagine.
That was back in the day.
People down the M77 looking and seeing the Thistle bus and seeing all you getting the old.
No, we cut into the bus at the time. But that's a true story. Ran right off the bus, right through the doors. Okay, they opened them and ended up on the pitch.
Aye.
20 minute warm up, boom, right in
there. No, I was looking at your stats the other day for Partick Thistle. You, for some reason, I don't know why, you play 40 odd games for Thistle.
No, I don't recall
I
that.
I think you did.
I had a bad.
You played more games for Thistle than you did for Rangers.
No, I didn't.
No?
Did I?
I'm sure Wikipedia said that.
Listen. That's got me runner up badminton champion when I'm the champion.
I'm sure. So you're more affiliated to Thistle than
he's right. He's right according to your Wikipedia.
Nah, listen, anybody can go on that and change that, Gordon. Right. My days of party.
But how many? Something like 30 odd for Rangers and 45 for Thistle.
34 and 43.
Is that right?
According to your Wikipedia.
Nah, I don't know. Well, one of them was at Rugby Park when we ran right off the bus to the theme tune.
Thistle legend. It wasn't an orange ball. It was that old pink skin.
Molemaster. The old Molemaster with the Adidas coppers. Away we went. Puma Kings.
Mackenzie Kirk headers wide from Graham Carey's cross. Still goalless there. Still goalless, I think, in Dingwall. As well, yes it is, Ross County and Motherwell. Let's go back to Ibrox, Gabriel. So in theory you are 20 minutes away from kickoff. That's not changed, has it?
No, Gordon, from what we understand, still on for the 3:45 kickoff here. Dundee United players only been out warming up for about 2 minutes. It's not quite Dazzler running off the bus having just put his kit on. But the bus didn't arrive here until around 3 o'clock. We thought it might have been a bit earlier, but it wasn't actually until around 3 o'clock. The keepers were out a bit earlier, but United now just warming up. And the snow is back on here in Govan, starting to fall down quite heavily. Rangers been out for much longer, of course, about 15 minutes. Got to say, it is strange looking at James Tavernier, the club captain, just warming up with all the substitutes, moving the ball about in a little rondo here in front of me, and not with the starting 11.
That's an interesting looking at that time frame, Mark. If Thistle in the brain. If the Dundee United players are just out to warm up, is that going to kick off at 3:45?
You wouldn't expect so. That is extremely short. You always leave yourself around about 40 minutes. So 3 o'clock kickoff, the players will usually come out about 20 past 2. So that's all fine. Yeah, 20 minutes. That's quite short, huh?
Yeah, plus the fact you've got to get back in the dressing room, you've got to get your shin pads on, get ready. That game is absolutely no chance.
Do the hair.
Yeah, getting off, get the Vaseline on. Did you ever put the Vaseline on the lips in that?
No. Why? For what reason?
I don't know. It was just a fashion then.
What? You put Vaseline on your lips?
On your lips, yeah. Yeah, any of the old players will tell you that.
Just no.
And away you go.
Get what for?
I don't know, Gordon, right? It was just a fashion at the time. Why do you do anything in life?
The Vicks on the shirt.
Oh, I like the Vicks.
I like that.
A wee bit of winter green on the, especially in the cold when the snow was coming down.
If anyone was in here seeing them doing the actions of putting the winter green
you
on the loins.
They come over, winter green on you go. And you,
you can't put winter green there where you just gestured.
You're nipping. This is true. Seeing I went to Manchester, so I'd never seen this before. And Paul Gascoigne used to do it all the time, a wee bit more than most. The first game I ever played, they sat a bottle of whiskey on the table with a wee miniature, wee shots, glasses. And I'm watching thinking, what's this all about? And as the bell went, players went up, took the wee miniature and drank the whiskey and thing me down to the pitch.
Mate, this is a guy who slaughters me when I played. in my era, and he's telling his guys are drinking on the job.
No. It was no the sort of I gave you that warm glow.
Oh, because it did.
The yeah. I tell you what, they were stunned when I ran out with the bottle in my hand, Landy. But that
played like you had.
Yeah, that's another one. But that's 100% true. How things have changed in football.
It's actually professional now.
No, it's not, mate.
It's a boys' club back in your day.
Gabriel, when you say the snow's back on to a worrying extent, or I know I'm asking a lot of you here to predict the weather.
I wouldn't say it's worrying yet, Gordon, because it's quite wet on the ground, so it doesn't seem to be lying. It's more sleety than thick snow. I'm no weather expert, but I wouldn't expect it to lie too much, especially with the players you think would be playing on it. So I wouldn't say the game was in danger yet, but the snow was off for a good 45 minutes an hour, and it is certainly back on here. The fans, not quite packed out Ibrox the way you would expect them to. Maybe they stayed at their homes or in the pubs a little bit longer, but still plenty of empty seats. And we're nearly just 15 minutes away from kickoff.
What's the latest in Paisley? Roger, are looking okay?
Yeah, with a little bit of sleet as well, just as Gabriel's saying, from Ibrox, just along the road, of course. It is not quite as thick as it was. It's still coming down, but I don't think it'll put any threat to the game. Both teams are now out warming up. John Beaton and his assistants are warming up after he gave the go-ahead in a pitch inspection at 5-3. We'll have a game. The supporters, turnstiles are open, Gordon. The supporters are beginning to come in. I was keeping an eye on the Aberdeen end away to my right, because just with the excitement of their start to the season. Remember, they can go top of the Premiership table again, even if it's just for a few hours, with a positive result here in Paisley. I was expecting the Aberdeen supporters to be piling into that away end, and thus far, we still got half an hour to go before kick-off, thus far it's pretty sparse, the away support. I just wonder how many of the Aberdeen fans have made it to Paisley this afternoon.
OK, don't forget, we do have two games underway. No goals to tell you about yet. Kilmarnock had looked bright. We had the Mackenzie Kirk header from Graham Carey's cross, though, for the hosts. It's pretty quiet, I have to say. In Dingwall, nothing doing yet. Motherwell up there. So Ross County 0, Motherwell 0. Motherwell up there last night as a team. It'd be interesting to hear how many fans braved it and went up there, up the A9. You would have, I suppose, if you weren't working today, you'd have been up there, wouldn't you?
No, absolutely no chance. In fact, let me clarify something. If Motherwell were playing at home today, and I live a 9 iron away into the wind, I wouldn't have been there. It's too cold, Gordon.
Great, that's great commitment to the cause. Thank you for that. Thank you for sharing that with us. I have to say that was brilliant. Do you know who you remind me of? So we spoke about this during the
Matty
week.
Kennedy.
I chuckled a bit when I heard that Matty Kennedy wasn't in the Killy team today. I'm sure there's a normal reason, like him being injured, but I've just got visions of him being away at the cinema or 10 pin bowling or something.
Yeah,
we played it on Thursday night, didn't we? Say that doesn't he really like football?
See,
doesn't watch it.
You just can't get that. I can grasp that. Right. I was the opposite. I like watching football. I like coaching football. I loved when I was a manager and coaching and trying to work out tactics and stuff like that. Okay, some people can shout you weren't very good at it, but I didn't particularly enjoy playing the game. He's the opposite, isn't he?
Yes,
he loves playing it, but he hates watching
it. That's not what he's saying. Yeah, he's saying he wouldn't, you know, he basically doesn't even understand how people would sit and watch 90 minutes. You would do that. You watch football
100%, but I didn't like playing it, and I would never play five. I wouldn't be like him embarrassing myself in Aberdeen.
Oh, you heard about this?
What's he done?
Forget
now?
The Masters. As if the Masters hasn't, probably should have put him off.
Oh, he's not back in, has he?
He's gone back a matter of days later and had his pants pulled down by Aidan McGeady yesterday, didn't you?
My own old training nemesis. I used to get paired against Aidan quite a lot when I was at Celtic, and it made me a better defender, but it's been a long time since I faced up against him. But oh, he was unstoppable.
Tell him what he did to you yesterday.
I mean right from the off I could tell he was in the mood, and I couldn't move. Anyway, I was dreadful. Anyway, squared me up. That's, you would have liked it.
Did he drop
looked
the
like, looked like he was just going to scoop it over my foot. Waited till I move, nutmegged on the other side, goal. The game stopped for 20 seconds while people picked themselves up off the floor laughing. You know that way you just want the ground to swallow you up.
Have known that feeling a lot, Mark, throughout your career.
I can't know. Against the best in the world, right enough, but
That's what I mean. I just can't understand these guys turning up. It was freezing yesterday and want to run about playing five or six.
Keeps you fit. You could be done with it.
No.
Couldn't you? You were saying the other day that you're worried about the waistline.
I'm not worried about it. I've taken
cholesterol.
I'm not worried about it. It's the bio age I'm more worried about, Mark.
The bio age. What's the machine saying again?
It's 59. It's saying I'm a bit. I need to get it down a little bit.
59. You must be well up into the 60s if you're concerned.
Nope, 59. I'm going to try and get it 55. Get the body fat down. I'm sitting.
So for people who don't know, this is like a machine in the gym that tells you.
I'm sitting body fat around about 23%, and I'm not too happy with it.
23%.
Yeah.
Hi.
Yeah.
That's like a walrus.
Yeah. Please get some football underway so we can stop talking about Gordon DL's body fat. Still, the thing is, we do have two games underway. It's not for the want of trying. There's just not a great deal happening between St Johnstone, Kilmarnock, or Ross County Motherwell. I will give you as many updates as possible. They just don't really exist yet. So what about the teaser, Mark? Another quick reminder.
Yes. So since 2016, six players have moved either way between Hearts and the Old Firm on a permanent basis.
Okay.
Name them.
Quite a common wrong one, I would say, here. I can see no grey areas. I can see the opposite perspective. A few of them going for Stephen Naismith.
No, Stephen Naismith.
Okay, not on the list, that's fine. Keep them going. At Clyde SSB, get your answers over to. How do you think you're faring? Doing okay?
I've done five, I can't get the six.
No.
It'd be interesting today, Mark, if this was our Christmas journey.
Where would we?
I don't
know. We wouldn't be
anywhere. Exactly.
In Clyde Bank.
We're hoping that.
Yeah, because there are no games on.
Yeah, we're hoping St Johnstone.
Nothing kicked off at
not
3 o'clock yet. Nothing out with the top flight kicked off. In fact, no, nothing. I was right the first time. Nothing at all kicked off at 3. Lennon Miller had a free kick. He bent it wide of the post. Andy Halliday fouled outside the area, but Lennon Miller couldn't convert the free kick. So Ross County Motherwell remains goalless, as does that game that kicked off 3:15. So we had 2 at 3:15. We've got 1 just around the corner at Ibrox, and just even further around the corner if you keep going, St Mirren Aberdeen, and then we're loosely back on track. Nothing coming out of Tynecastle, Roger. Is that because that's going to be absolutely fine, or is it because it's so far away that nobody's bothered to think about it yet?
I think it's probably because it's in the television and it'll be too much hassle to put the game off. I think that's the same with Dundee Hibernian. I think they were desperate to get the two TV games on. I think that probably influenced their eagerness to get the earlier games on as well. They've got them all on, there's no doubt about that, but I don't think the spectacle will be what it might be. There will be fewer Aberdeen fans here for a start. I think if you count the number of Motherwell fans at Dingwall on the fingers of one hand, very probably they're not. David Fools already told you, not many Killy fans at Perth, and that is the big disappointment of the day, that the supporters, the lifeblood of the game in this country, haven't been able to get to the games today.
Robbie Dees goes into the book for a foul on Graham Carey. Derek McInnes is not happy. He feels like he's been on the receiving end of a few harsh decisions this season. He does acknowledge that sometimes his players haven't helped themselves, Mark. It's been daft second bookings, because as that's where that debate always gets split. I'm not saying Robbie Dees is going to go on and get sent off, but if you're unhappy with the first one, that's fine and you're allowed to be. But then the perception of injustice only stretches so far if the second one comes for something daft, something that you shouldn't have done, whilst knowing that you were on a booking, rightly or wrongly.
And he's had too many of that from his players this season. So while we probably would agree that some may have been harsh, his players certainly haven't towed the line or used common sense. Again, there's arguments, but where do you stop? You see a player getting booked, you see them run the risk, do you withdraw them?
You can't do that every game.
Well, Stephen Robinson did it early on in the season, and it was the right decision.
I think that's only if it's so obvious, isn't it? That they're really
and then you can watch a player's reaction, and sometimes players can sort of lose what they're there to do. And as a manager, you can see, oh, hold on a minute here. He's really run the risk. But if you've got a book in and the player gets, you can't just keep saying, well, oh, he's got a yellow card, quick, make a substitution. I think you've got to, you know, sum it up, have a look at it, see how the player reacts from the book. And if he's still at it, he's still high, but it's still affecting him, then I think you've got to try and make that change. But I think the players that get booked, 99% just got on with the game, and they know they're actually need to watch what they're doing.
Motherwell starting to at least have more of the ball up there in Dingwall, starting to maintain a bit of control. Nothing major at the moment. Greg Docherty, remember him, formerly of Rangers and Hamilton Midfield Accies, player, sent off after 36 minutes for Charlton down the road, so he fancies an early day. Corey Ndaba has crossed just too high for Vassell. He was everywhere in that Celtic game, wasn't he?
He was good.
Corey Ndaba, I don't know if he's maybe in a more of a traditional crossing area there by the sounds of things, but too high for Vassell. Keepers with not a lot to do in Perth.
Well, you quite often meet him, do you not? Did you discuss any tactics, what he was asked for?
I haven't seen him yet since then, actually.
Because I'd be interested. We were trying to work out if he was part of a back three that we thought, but you've seen him quite advanced, going all the way in angles.
See, to be fair, obviously when the game is on TV and it brings more attention to it, he has been doing that a lot, kind of moving in the pitch, and David Freer's saying he's doing it again today. It's been a bit of a theme.
I like him. Good
for
player.
Kilmarnock, so still goalless though. Nothing to really trouble either goalkeeper, which is a shame. Hopefully we can get some action. And almost all the uncertainty around the Premiership games has had us going back and forward there, Mark. It just became sort of known beforehand. Nothing in the Championship today. So your employer, Partick Thistle,
is it United off? Because I had
It was moved back there. United
game. Forgive me. That's right.
3:45. I'm sure that's kicking off. But yeah, Partick Thistle away to Morton, and yesterday the players were still training as normal. But I think at Morton at Capel, the ground was frozen, pretty frozen yesterday morning anyway. So I think there was doubts about that kind of tunnel side of the pitch thawing out in time. Obviously you add snow to that, it was always looking
that
unlikely.
That was always a colour at Capel, just a wee bit when you come in. Aye.
Let me ask Gabriel at Ibrox, are the teams still out warming up, Gabriel?
Dundee United are, Gordon.
So it's not kicking off in 5 minutes then, is it?
Kick off in 6 minutes as it stands. Rangers went in about 5 minutes ago, kind of typically for a team that have been warming up here and have been ready. They've been on schedule despite the 45 minute delay. Dundee United just still out here training. I've not heard anything different. But what I would say, and this could be speculative, it looks like most of the players have their shin pads and boots on and their kits, as if they might not be going back in.
Thank goodness they've got their boots on, mate. What else would they have on?
Listen, it's been a long afternoon. Okay.
Six of them have got slippers on.
I can't believe a footballer's run out with his boots on.
He's now a
drama at Ibrox.
Seeing reports that they arrived at Ibrox at 3 o'clock, kickoff for 3:45. So it does look like it will be a sort of condensed warm up.
You know what, maybe he's got a point there. Maybe they are actually, all joking aside, just ready to go.
Yeah, take the tracksuit tops off, wait for Rangers coming out.
That would be good if they didn't even go back in.
Yeah, that's
just
what
I'm saying. Just wait out like an amateur team, just stand around on the pitch.
Not wrong with that, is there? If you've done all your prep in the bus, maybe Jim's done that. He stood up and just says, here's a talk, we're going to be sharp in here, guys. Get your stuff on, we'll stay out in the pitch. Ah, bit different, I like that.
Kim Pioka has had a shot saved for St Johnstone, curling effort from about 18 yards. Robbie McCrory equal to it, so finally something in front of goal. No goals yet between Ross County and Motherwell either. Lots of fouls, quite, you know, kind of broken up play, very stop start. Andy Halliday whipped a free kick there. Stamatolopoulos flicked it on, but no takers, so remains goalless there. And we will go back to Ibrox for kickoff next.